What is going on, Bay Area sports fans? I am Cody Rodriguez, your host for today's show of Bay Area Sports Talk with Cody Rodriguez. And we've had a big, huge weekend, a bunch of stuff going on in sports-wise in the Bay Area. We're going to get all right to it. Some Warrior games that's been going on. Warriors, so close to clinching a playoff spot, and still not there. And then we have some Sharks going a little bit more streaking, but will they be able to keep it up on Friday and Sunday's game? Giants opened the home season this weekend, last weekend, against the St. Louis Cardinals. Could they keep it up? Could they beat the Cardinals this time around? And then Oakland A's make a visit to the new AL West opponent, Houston Astros, and see how they handle them. But first, to start off with the Golden State Warriors, two games still. Magic number is still at two to clinch a playoff spot. And as it looks right now, from standing-wise, Golden State is six seed. Then you have 7th seed Houston, which is 1.5 games back. Then in 8th seed, you have Utah. And in the 9th seed, only a half game back from the 8th seed is the L.A. Lakers. So you cannot underestimate the L.A. Lakers and what they might be able to do. But also, to look, be very careful and look out for Houston. Because Houston can just make, when Golden State can make one slip up and Houston's right there to make and catch it, next thing you know, you see Golden State facing the second seed Oklahoma City in the first round. So let's start off with the weekend recap. Friday night at Phoenix, the Golden State Warriors face the Phoenix Suns, and they won by a total of 111 to 107. It was going back and forth, but a three-pointer by Jared Jack at the end of the game sealed the deal, gave the Warriors the win, put the magic number to 2. Like I said, it was going back and forth, and this honestly had to be the biggest comeback of the year for the Golden State Warriors in general this whole season. They came back from an 18-point deficit from the first half to end up winning the game. That's what you call a team that is desperate to win. They knew they needed to win, because if they didn't win, there's no way that they're gonna clinch a playoff spot in the near time future. They wanted to get it done. They wanted to do it. I'm pretty sure they all, even Mark Jackson, wants to clinch a playoff spot in front of the Oracle fans, the Warrior fans, everyone there. I mean, it's better to clinch a playoff spot at home than away, and that's what they wanted to do. So they made sure that they won at Phoenix, and they did. Curry had 18 points and also had a career high. 15 assists, which was actually pretty good to see. That's basically it from Friday. Friday was the biggest comeback, and Sunday was probably the biggest game for the Warriors this season. It was a weekend for biggest for the Warriors. Sunday they faced the Utah Jazz, and the occurrence of what I told you guys, that if something would happen. And Sunday, if they won Friday, Sunday is a chance to clinch it all right there and get it all over with, facing the Utah Jazz. And the Warriors knew that. The Jazz knew that. The Jazz knew that they needed a win, especially with the Lakers. They were watching the Laker game before the game even started, and they knew that once the Lakers lost, if they won this game, this is their chance to get the 8th seed and secure it. This is what we call an all-star, another desperate team that's desperate to win. And it showed big time as they beat the Golden State Warriors 97-90, making sure the Warriors have to hold on their plans to clinch a playoff spot. And if you think about it, this is the first time since 2007 that the Warriors would clinch a playoff spot, and the second time since in 19 years that the Warriors would be going to the playoffs. Do you guys really think it would be that easy for the Warriors to clinch a playoff spot? No. As long as I'm on this earth, it will never be easy for the Warriors to clinch a playoff spot. Like I said, with a win, gives the Golden State Warriors a playoff berth. Golden State Warriors led 2-1 with scoring Mines, who also had 21-21 tie in the third quarter. So you can tell that it was scoring was going back and forth, but the Warriors mostly had an advantage to it, but couldn't keep it up. It was a point game for both sides, as like I said, Utah was looking to secure an 8th seed with the Lakers losing to the Clippers. And also, talking about the Clippers, congratulations to the LA Clippers for securing their first Pacific Division title. So, especially against the Lakers too. So it was basically a home game, but congrats to them. Really wish it was the Warriors, but but the one thing I saw from the Jazz is they play like a team that needed the win, and the Warriors didn't seem like that. They seemed like that in the first half. Second half was nowhere to be found, and it was especially Curry. Here's a fun fact. Curry scored 17 of his 22 points in the first half. That's saying something. The Warriors, especially Curry, need to realize that this is a key game. I can't stress it enough, but this is a key game. If the Warriors win this game, you include yourself in the playoffs, and all you have to worry about is making sure Houston doesn't get above you. That's all you have to do. Win this one game. And it really didn't happen. So, as I look at the preview for this week, maybe, just maybe, we could probably see them clinch this week. As of Tuesday, they have another homestand going on. Tuesday, they face Minnesota at Oracle. And then Thursday, on TNT, they will be facing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, my predictions for this week, I'm saying Warriors go 1-1. They go 1-1. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves and make it 1. Maybe the Jazz lose and we win and we clinch it right there. Thursday would be a loss. I think Oklahoma City will take this game serious, and they will come up to Oracle and just stomp on the Golden State Warriors, and it will show. I mean, it's like the last time Oklahoma City was in Golden State, they lost. But would it be like this time? I don't know. Maybe it's a playoff preview. You never know with the way these teams are playing. Maybe it could be a playoff preview for the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Going forward, let's talk a little bit of hockey. Some hockey still going on. Friday and Sunday, the Sharks found themselves playing again. I don't really have anything else to say behind that. Friday night, the Sharks faced the Calgary Flames at HP to beat them to make it a 7-game win streak. That means that they have gone 7-0 in the homestand. Like I said, Sharks went to 7-game win streak. We can say thank you to Dan Boyle and a late goal by Joe Pavelski once again for the 2-1 win. As the first period went to the Calgary Flames, as they scored in first, and the second period was dull, nothing from the Sharks. But in the third period, you saw that they're like, no, screw this. We're done with this. I'm not gonna watch this team go down. Dan Boyle scores. Joe Pavelski comes in late, scores. And fun fact, that was actually Joe Pavelski's, which is actually a team-high 5th game-winning goal. If you want to win a game, give the puck to Pavelski. That's my new motto now. So that makes it with this win 7-0-0 on the homestand. And Niemi wasn't too shabby too with 23 saves. I mean, I think Niemi's trying to prove me wrong and say, hey, Cody, you said that that you're disappointed with my, and this is gonna be my last year as a San Jose Shark. Well, maybe let one goal go through and 23 saves and we'll call it a day. I'm like, well, okay. So 7-0-0, and they look to close out the homestand Sunday evening against the Dallas Stars, a very rare matinee game from the San Jose Sharks, and they look to close out the homestand, but they close out the homestand in a 5-4 shootout loss. Sharks were looking to sweep the homestand, but couldn't. They started strong with a 2-goal lead, and then three goals later in the second period to make it a 5-2 game, but a 4-2 game. But they just couldn't really catch up. They couldn't catch up, but they just couldn't keep up with the lead. You know, like what I'm saying is that that they, once they had the lead, they couldn't keep that up. They just kept on goals go through. The defense was a little shaky, and it didn't really help too. The Stars rookie Chizian scoring two goals, you know, just being called up from Texas from the AHL team like Monday and scoring his first goal on Friday. This means he has two goals. He has three goals in two games. So I mean, you can't really do anything about that. But at least the Sharks end the homestand. They end the homestand with 7-0-1, and they look to start a road homestand, I guess. Do we call it road stands? I don't even know what to call it. But they start off Tuesday this week at Columbus, and then Thursday at Detroit. Don't we all just love facing Detroit? I mean, if you say yes, you're an idiot. But the way I'm seeing this, my prediction is 2-0 from the San Jose Sharks. Yes, Detroit is 8th seed in the standings. We'll get into the standings later right now. But I predict that, you know, the Sharks, we haven't seen the new-look Sharks. When I say new-look, I mean the team that just went 7-0-1 at home. We haven't seen the new-look Sharks on the road. And that's the key thing about winning these games against the playoffs. Is if you get rid at home, that's fine. If you get rid on the road against tough teams, then you're set. And I think winning against Detroit would be a good start to giving everyone say, hey, this is the Sharks that everyone knows. Remember us, you know. I have them going 2-0, winning Tuesday at the Blue Jackets, Columbus, and winning Thursday at Detroit. And standings go as for right now, 4th seed LA Kings going 48 points, 5th seed San Jose at 47, 6th seed Minnesota at 46, 7th seed St. Louis at 44, and 8th seed Detroit at 43. So as you can see, it is very, very tight. You could be in the 5th seed or the 4th seed one day, lose a game, you'd be in the 7th seed or the 6th seed. So, I mean, who would I want to see against the Sharks in the playoffs? I don't want to see the LA Kings. That's for sure. I would honestly like to see the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, that's putting the Sharks in the 6th seed, maybe. Or, yeah, so I'd rather see the Sharks play the Canucks or Minnesota. So, whatever team can go from the 6th seed to the 3rd seed, and be another team being the 5th seed and the Sharks being the 6th seed, I'd rather see that. I'd rather see the Sharks face Minnesota or Vancouver. Honestly, Minnesota, because Minnesota would be a good series, especially after what we just seen from the Sharks-Minnesota last game at HP. So, good stuff there. Let's end it up this show, a very short show. I mean, I try to make it short. I'm just like, okay, this, okay, we're done. I mean, I try to keep it short for you guys to keep listening. No one wants to hear 2 hours of me talking about a guy. That's it. Just 2 hours about one person. So, it's, also, too, I have a freaking stuffy nose. I can barely talk. So, let's end it all up with some baseball. I'll talk about the San Francisco Giants. With the home opener, everything's going on in the home opener. Banner raising on Friday. Then Saturday, you have MVP presentation and bobbleheads. And then Sunday, you have the ring ceremony. But would the expectations keep up the Giants to win the the series? I predicted on Friday, that the Giants would go 1-2, losing game 1, winning game 2, and losing game 3. They actually did go 1-2, but they won game 1 behind Barry Zito. We'll get into that later. They lost game 2 with, Vogelsong. There you go. I was thinking Lindstrom for some reason. And then they lost Game 3 with Matt Kane on the mound. And Game 3, I can't wait to talk about Game 3. But Game 2 and Game 1, we'll get onto it. The game when I started off, they won 1-0, Barry Zito, Westbrook. We're both going back and forth in a pitching duel, and they were just going nuts on the opposing team's offense. And also, too, I mean, if the Cardinals had a little bit more bats, I think the Cardinals take this game. Because the only one that came by was a bases-loaded walk to bring in the one against Westbrook. So, in the fourth inning. So, but all that being said, Zito pitched good. Westbrook still pitched good. But it wasn't enough, and Romo comes in for a save three and winning the opening game in front of all of the Giant fans at home for the raising of the banner. I mean, I guess that's the thing. I guess that's the thing to do now. If you win a championship, raise your banner, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Game two. 6-3 loss, game two. Vogelsong looked strong at first, along with Shelby Miller. I actually predicted that Shelby Miller on his first game would lose, and Vogelsong would come out better. I was only saying that because Vogelsong was on my fantasy team. I really wanted a good start from him, but it did not show. Posey, before the game, Posey was honored with the MVP award. Bobbleheads were given out before the game. But the game was not an MVP-type game, obviously, with a 6-3 loss. Miller and Ryan looked good at the first, but then once the game started going on, the pitch count going up, they looked weaker and weaker and weaker, especially Vogelsong. Bigger inning coming in the fifth with 3-1 scoring off of Vogelsong. From the San Luis Cardinals, making it a 6-2 game. But in the bottom of the eighth inning, Pablo and Posey tried to bring this game back up. Pablo hitting a solo home run, making it a 6-3, and Buster Posey hitting a double with no outs, trying to get something going, get the fans back into it. But as for sure, Pence and Brandon Belt leave Buster Posey on base, and the game and an inning. Boggs gets a save, and then we all look forward to game three. Game three, the ring ceremony, all the players are giving out their rings. Gold jerseys are being out with the gold hat. But if you're a Giants fan, that's the only thing you want to remember out of that game, because that game was horrendous, especially coming out from Matt Cain. It was a good start. Adrian Bregman got the game going with a 1-0 lead. But in the very next inning, Matt Cain becomes the first pitcher since 1902 in franchise history to give up 9 runs in a single inning. And that was all in the fourth. 9 runs. Why do you leave a guy in to give 9 runs? Like, the fifth one comes in, you're like, maybe he'll get it. The eighth one comes in, I still got hope for him. Ninth one comes in. Okay, maybe we should stop going. The game's 9-1. I think we should put a reliever in. Like, what the fuck? What is wrong with you? No one. I give credit to Bochy, and I know I believe in him, and I know what he's doing. But you leave a guy in there for nine runs in an inning. What is going through your head? So. That was just a terrible game. The score was 14-3. That, like I said, 1-2. Like I told everyone, I knew it was gonna happen, but I didn't suspect freaking Matt Cain to pitch like that. So that was interesting. Next series is at home this week. Excuse me. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they face the Colorado Rockies, which has the MLB's best offense right now. They are 5-1. Right now, they're not the Colorado Rockies you step on every year. Right now. I said right now. Who knows if they're going to be like that later in the season? I mean, last year we were like, oh, Pittsburgh Pirates, you're going to go to the playoffs the first time in 20. Nope. Nope. Later on the season, nope. So I start off Monday, De La Rosa, who is 0-0 for his season, faces Madison Bumgarner, who is 1-0. Then Tuesday, you have I hate these stupid names. Nicasio. I guess that's what I'm going to call him. Nicasio. who is 1-0 for the season, versus Tim Lipscomb, who is also 1-0 for the season. And then you have Francis, who is on Wednesday, who is 1-0, versus Zito, who is 1-0. And fun fact, all three of these pitchers have a 0.00 ERA for the Giants. Bumgarner, Lipscomb, Zito. So, could they keep that up against an offense that's actually pretty good? Cargo, Tortuga Whiskey's coming out. It'd be interesting to see. My prediction, they go... Once again, Giants fans might kill me. They go 1-2. I'm saying, as a baseball fan and I'm looking at it, they go 1-2. They win. I believe Madison Bumgarner keeps it up and wins on Monday against De La Rosa. Tuesday and Wednesday, it looks like the shaky games with Lipscomb on the mound and Zito on the mound. So I believe Tuesday and Wednesday are the losses, and they go 1-2. Let's start it off, and it's ended all on the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's went to the Houston for the first time as an AOS competitor, and I predicted they go 3-0. Hey, what do you know? They go 3-0. You need to go 3-0 versus a team like the Houston Astros. If you see how much payroll they have, how much depth on the pitching, how many strikeouts they have as a team, you need to go 3-0. On Friday, the score was 8-3. Straley was pitching, even though in the back of his head he knew he would be sent down to make spot for Bartolo Colon, who was making his season debut on Saturday. So he knew it. But even though he knew it, he still pitched one hell of a game. Gave up only about two, three, four hits maybe. But also the good stat to look at, he had 11 strikeouts. Peacock was a little shaky on his MLB debut. Not MLB debut, but MLB pitching, starting pitching debut, as we could say. Came out, he looked good at first. Well, I mean, not really looked good at first with a leadoff home run by Coco Chris. But everything started coming off in the fifth inning with an RBI single error. I mean, RBI error, I guess. You can't say if it's a single. An RBI error from Suspedes that was supposed to be a double play, fielded wrong, and that's all started coming in with five runs, was it seven runs? It was seven runs, yeah. Seven runs being scored on the fifth inning, and it just started a whole sale of runs coming from the Oakland A's to the Houston Astros. And, you know, Shirley got his first win, and we'll just wait until next time Shirley gets called up, and hopefully he gets pitches just as great as he is right now. He still needs some mechanical issues. He had 11 strikeouts, but it's against the Astros. If he did that against the Angels, that's saying something, but it wasn't the Angels, it was the Astros. Saturday, Colon comes back for his first game off his 50-game suspension of speed used on steroids. And he came back somewhat good. So I say somewhat with a deep voice, somewhat. A's win 6-3. Colon got the win, and Balfour got the first save of the year. Finally, Balfour gets a save. Your boy's been these big blowout leads so far to where we can't even put Balfour in there for a save. So A's came on strong first, but the Astros with a 1-1. But the Astros came back later on that inning with three runs of their own, making it a 3-1 game. But in the sixth inning, it all started all off once again with a home run by former Astro Jed Lowrie. And I started when all the runs started coming in, and then it became an A's lead, Bud Norris had 122 pitches. Why do you leave a pitcher in there for 102 pitches? You must be really desperate to win the game. But you leave a pitcher in there for 102 pitches, you deserve to lose. And that's what happened. And Balfour came in for the save, number one of the season, hopefully many more. And that leads us to the final game of the series. Oh, why do I keep saying season? Season's like a thing for me now. Final game of the series as we look at Anderson coming back after opening night loss. But he looked like the Anderson that we all saw with a win and a 93 win for the Oakland A's. Even this game, after this game, with this game, the A's have scored a total of 23 runs in the series. That's what you do to a team like the Astros. You just murder them, and that's what happened, 23 runs. You just murder them. But, you know, some injuries started coming up with Brett Anderson and Josh Reddick. Josh Reddick at first slid into right field wall, if you didn't see this. Josh Reddick was coming from right field, trying to catch a ball from right field, and slid and hit the wall with his wrist, and it came back. The X-rays came back negative. It was only a sprained wrist. He's day to day. But the main topic right now is, was it really worth it to make that slide with your team up? Damn. Oh God, why am I doing this? I'm sick. Dedication. With the game being like 8-2, 9-2, your team's up by so many runs. Why are you taking a chance of being injured and hurt just for a ball that's gonna hit the foul territory? You know, why are you taking the chance? And I personally think you don't take that chance. You don't take the chance, especially with Astros. I mean, Brett Anderson's pitching one heck of a game, and if something happens, you also have Sean Doolittle, Ryan Cook, Pat Nisha, Chris Russo. You just put them all in there, Jerry Blevins, to handle the situation. So it's not like it's a game-saving catch. So now you put the situation of the A's where we're not going to be having you in the lineup for a while, and that might actually either hurt the A's or help the A's. But I think it might hurt the A's, and I think that, I mean, Josh Reddick wanted to show why he has the Gold Glove, I guess. I don't know. But he has been diving a lot, and I was actually a risk taker for me, and I think that Josh Reddick shouldn't have never took that slide. And also, too, Brett Anderson, Brett Anderson had a couple comebackers come back at him, and he tried to put his hand up to catch it, and luckily it just bounced off the fingertips and whatever. He got X-rays on his fingers. And they are on his thumb, and it came back negative. It's just a thumb contusion. So hopefully he'll be ready back for the, against the Detroit Tigers, would be his next start, I believe, because Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, it would be Saturday against I have to stop looking at the TV because I saw Josh Hamilton. I thought it was Josh Verlander, but no, Justin, against Verlander. So, hopefully be ready by then. If not, well, you have Jared Parker. So, and also too, a couple of notes. Coco in this 3-game series has had a home run in each game of the series, and that is something good to talk about if you are an A's fan, that Coco is showing a little bit of power so far, along with Chris Young. Chris Young came into the game and hits his 3-1 home run. A monster shot. No one knew where it lands. I didn't even know where it lands. So, that's something. I have nothing else to say about that. It was something. So, as a preview for the series, as we end the show, the A's go on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at LA to face the Anaheim Angels as they open their home series, I guess. They finally get to play at home. And I have Tuesday, you have Jared Parker, who is 0-1, versus CJ Wilson, who is 0-0. Then you have Wednesday, you have Tommy Malone, who is 1-0 right now, versus Joey Fat Boy Blanton, who is 0-1. And then you have Thursday, you have AJ Griffin, who is 1-0, versus Justin Vargas, who is 0-1. So, where's my predictions? Now, this is what I want to talk about. My predictions for the A's are totally different from being a fan to being a person who talks about them on radio, on a podcast. I'm going through all these numbers, I'm going through what I'm looking at, and I'm saying these as a fan. His everyone knows I'm a huge Oakland A's fan, and everyone suspects, oh, he's gonna say that they're gonna go 3-0, or they're gonna go 2-1, or something. I'm looking at the numbers right now, and I'm saying that the A's go 2-1 against the Angels. The A's have had nothing but great success against C.J. Wilson in the past. And also, too, you're throwing Jared Parker out there. Maybe he becomes a little bit more better. Maybe because of Jared Parker that we know. We don't know. And also, too, you're also talking about a Josh Hamilton, Albert Pujols, Mike Trout, Mark Trumbo, who also having a shaky start to the season. Josh Hamilton looks a little bit coming back on Sunday night against the Texas Rangers. But I think that the A's will win Tuesday, and they will win Wednesday against Joe Bland. Because, guys, it's Joe Bland. There's no doubt that the A's can win it. Now, the one game I do have them losing is Thursday. Not because Adrian Griffin is going to pitch bad. I think Adrian Griffin's going to pitch a stellar of a game. But it's also, too, that the A's are facing Vargas, who the A's have a little bit of history with against the Seattle Mariners. And from what I remember last year, the A's usually had a bad time against Vargas. So that's where they lose. So I have the A's going 2-1. Now, when I make my Giants predictions, it's not because I hate the Giants. I'm like, well, they're going 1-2. They're gonna go 0-3. I hope they go 0-3. No, I'm saying this right now. I predicted at the beginning of the season when they faced the Dodgers that they would go 2-1. Did they go 2-1? They did go 2-1. You know why? Because I looked at the fucking numbers. I knew that was gonna happen. I knew looking at it that I predicted that they would win opening night. Yes. They didn't win opening night. They lost the opening night. But did I not predict them to go 2-1 somehow? And they did. So I make my predictions off as not being a fan, but someone who looks at the numbers, looks at last year's numbers, and just as a person who wants to talk about it on a sports talk show radio, not as a fan. So I just go 2-1 this week series as the Giants go 1-2 and. See who else. Sharks go 2-0, and the Warriors will go 1-1. Do the Warriors clinch a playoff spot this week? I predict that they will. So, with all that being said, thank you guys for listening, and make sure to keep all the keep listening, spread the word out, whatever you have to do. And I have nothing else to say. All right, see you guys later. See you guys Friday.